Chapter 16. Kaylin sprang out of bed, rubbing the sleep from her eyes as Richard unbolted the door. She pulled her knife. Bill, breathing hard, squeezed in and pushed the door shut with his back. Beads of sweat dotted his forehead. "What is it? What's happened?" Richard asked. "Everything was pretty quiet," Bill swallowed, catching his breath. "Then, a little while ago, these two fellows showed up, right out of nowhere. Big men, thick necks, blonde hair, good-looking, armed to the teeth. The kind of men you try not to look in the eye." He took a few deep breaths. Richard stole a quick glance at Kaylin's eyes. There was no doubt in them as to who the men were. Apparently, the wizard trouble the Quad had run into wasn't trouble enough. "Two?" Richard asked. "You're sure there weren't more?" "Only saw two come in, but that was enough." Bill's wide eyes looked out from under his curly eyebrows. "One was tore up pretty good, arm in a sling, big claw cuts down his other arm. Didn't seem to bother him any, though. Anyway, they started asking about a woman that sounded a lot like your lady here, except she isn't wearing a white dress like they described. They started for the stairs, and a quarrel broke out about who was gonna do what with her. Your redhead friend jumped the one with the sling and slit his throat from ear to ear. The other fella cut down a bunch of my customers in a heartbeat. I've never seen anything like it. Then all of a sudden he just wasn't there anymore. Vanished into nothing. There's blood everywhere. The rest of the lot are down there right now arguing about who's going to be first to..." He glanced at Kaylin, leaving the rest unsaid. He wiped his forehead with the back of his arm. "Randy's bringing the horses to the back. You have to get out now. Head for Addie's. The sun's an hour away, the hounds too, so you'll be all right, but not if you delay." Richard grabbed Chase's legs, Bill his shoulders. He told Kaylin to bolt the door and get their things together. With Chase in their arms, they trudged down the back stairs and out into the darkness and rain. Lamplight coming from the windows reflected in the puddles, giving the wet, black forms of the horses yellow highlights. Randy was waiting, looking worried as he held the horses. They dropped Chase in a litter and ran as quietly as possible up the stairs. Bill scooped Zed into his arms, while Richard and Kaylin threw on their cloaks and grabbed the packs. The three of them, Bill, Richard, then Kaylin, raced down the stairs and for the door. As they burst out the door, they almost tripped over Randy, sprawled on the ground. Richard looked up just in time to see the red-haired man lunging. He leapt back, narrowly missing the sweep of the long knife. The man went face first into the mud. With surprising quickness, he came to his knees, enraged, and then went rigid, the sword point an inch from his nose. The air rang with the sound of steel. The man looked up with vicious black eyes. Water and mud ran from the strings of his hair. Richard flicked the sword a quarter turn in his hand and whacked him hard over the head with the flat of the blade. He went down in a limp heap. Bill laid Zed in the litter while Kaylin turned Randy over. One eye was swollen shut. Rain splattered on his face. He groaned. When he saw Kaylin with his one good eye, he broke into a grin. Relieved that he wasn't hurt worse, she gave him a quick hug and helped him up. "He jumped me," Randy said apologetically. "I'm sorry." "You are a brave young man. You have nothing to be sorry for. Thank you for helping us." She turned to Bill. "You too." Bill smiled and gave a nod. Zed and Chase were quickly covered with blankets and oilcloth and the packs loaded. Bill told them that Addie's supplies were already on Chase's horse. Richard and Kaylin mounted their horses. She flipped the silver coin to Randy. "Payment on delivery, as promised," she told him. He caught the coin and grinned. Richard bent down and clasped hands with Randy and thanked him earnestly, then pointed angrily at Bill. "You! I want you to add everything to your tally book. Include all the damage, all your time and trouble, even the grave markers. I want you to add a fair fee for saving our lives. If the council doesn't want to approve payment, you tell them that you saved the life of the brother of the first counselor. And Richard Cipher said if they don't pay, I'll personally have the head of the man responsible, and I will put it on a pike on the front lawn of my brother's house. Bill nodded and laughed over the sound of the rain. Richard pulled back on the reins to keep his horse in place as it danced about, eager to go. He pointed down at the unconscious man in the mud. He was furious. The only reason I didn't kill this man is because he killed a man worse than himself, and in so doing may have unwittingly saved Kalin's life. But he is guilty of murder, intent to murder, and intent to rape. I suggest you hang him before he wakes. Bill looked up at him with hard eyes. Done. Don't forget what I said about the boundary. Trouble comes. Take care with yourself. Bill held Richard's eyes as he put his hairy arm around his son's shoulders. We won't forget. A slight smile curled the corners of his mouth. Long life to the Seeker! Richard looked down at him in surprise, and then grinned. Smiling quenched some of the fire of his rage. When I first saw you, Richard said, my thought was that you were not a devious man. I find I was mistaken. Richard and Kalin pulled their hoods up and urged their horses on into the dark rain, toward the Bone Woman. The rain had quickly drowned the lights from South Haven and left the travelers to grope their way through the blackness. Chase's horses had carefully picked their way down the trail. Trained by the wardens for this kind of duty, they were comfortable in the adverse conditions. Dawn had struggled interminably at bringing light to the new day. Even after Richard knew the sun was up, the world still hung in half-light between night and day, a ghost of morning. The rain had helped to cool his hot rage. Richard and Kayla knew that the last member of the quad was loose somewhere, and they watched every movement as a potential threat. They knew that sooner or later he would come at them. The uncertainty of when ate at their concentration. Worry over what Bill had said, that Zed and Chase wouldn't last long, gnawed at his spirit. If this woman, Addie, couldn't help, he didn't know what he would do. If she couldn't help, his two friends would die. He couldn't imagine a world without Zed. A world without his tricks and help and comfort would be a dead world. He realized that he was getting a lump in his throat thinking about it. Zed would tell him not to worry about what might be, but to worry about what was. But what was seemed almost as bad. His father had been murdered. Darken Rawl was close to obtaining all the boxes. Richard's two oldest friends were near death. He was alone with a woman he cared about, but wasn't supposed to care about. She still kept her secrets closed to him, locked away. He could tell she fought a constant battle over it in her mind. Sometimes when he felt he was getting closer to her, he saw pain and fear in her eyes. Soon they would be in the Midlands, where people knew what she was. He wanted her to be the one to tell him. He didn't want to learn it from someone he didn't know. If she didn't tell him soon, he would have to ask her. Against his nature or not, he would have to. So deep was he in thought, he hadn't realized they had been on the trail for over 4 hours. The forest was drinking in the rain. Trees loomed dark and huddled in the mist. The moss on their trunks was vibrant and lush. It stood out on the bark of trees and in round humps on the ground, green and spongy. The lichen on the rocks shone bright yellow and rust in the damp. In some places, water ran down the trail, turning it into a temporary creek. The poles of Zed's litter splashed through it, going over rocks and roots, rocking the old man's head from side to side on the rougher sections. His feet rode inches from water when they crossed runoff streams. Richard smelled the sweetness of wood smoke in the stillness. Birchwood. He realized that the area they were entering had changed somehow. It looked the same as it had for hours, yet it was different. Rain floated down in quiet reverence for the forest. The whole place felt somehow sacred. He felt like an intruder, disturbing the peace of timeless ages. He wanted to say something to Kalin, but it seemed as if talking would be a sacrilege. He understood why the men from the inn wouldn't come up here. Their foul presence would be a violation. They came to a house that so blended with its surroundings, it was almost invisible next to the trail. A wisp of wood smoke curled from its chimney, up into the misty air. The logs of the walls were weathered and ancient, matching the color of the surrounding trees, with nothing other than the ground it sat upon disturbed. The house seemed to be growing from the forest floor, with trees towering around it protectively. The roof was covered in a mass of ferns. A smaller, slanted roof covered a door and a porch large enough for only two or three people to stand on at once. There was a square, four-paned window in the front, and another on the side of the house Richard could see. None had curtains. In front of the old house, a patch of ferns bowed and nodded when water from the trees dripped onto them. Mist turned their distinctive, dusty, pale green bright in the wetness. A narrow path slipped through their midst. In the center of the ferns, in the center of the path, stood a tall woman, taller than Kalin, not as tall as Richard. She wore a simple tan robe of a coarse weave, with red and yellow symbols and decorations at the neck. Her hair was fine and straight, a mix of black and gray, parted in the middle, chopped square with her strong jaw. Age had not stolen the handsome features of her weathered face. She leaned on a crutch. She had but one foot. Richard brought the horses to a slow halt in front of her. The woman's eyes were completely white.
"I be Addy. Who be you?"
Addie's voice had a harsh, throaty, raspy quality that sent a shiver up Richard's spine. "Four friends," Richard said in a respectful tone. Light rain fell in a hushed, soft patter. He waited. Fine wrinkles covered her face. She took the crutch from under her arm and folded both thin hands over the top, lending her weight to it. Addie's thin lips pulled tighter in a slight smile.
"One friend," she rasped. "Three dangerous people. I decide if they be friends."
She nodded slightly to herself. Richard and Kalin stole a sidelong glance at each other. His guard went up. He felt somehow uncomfortable sitting on the horse, as if talking down to her suggested disrespect. He dismounted, Kalin following his lead. With his horse's reins in his hand, he moved to stand in front of the animal, Kalin next to him. "I am Richard Cipher. This is my friend, Kalin Amnell." The woman studied his face with her white eyes. He had no idea if she could see, but he didn't know how it could be possible. She turned to Kalin. The woman's raspy voice spoke a few words to Kalin in a language he couldn't understand. Kalin's eyes held the old woman's, and she gave Addie a slight bow of her head. It had been a greeting of deference. Richard hadn't recognized the words Kalin or Amnell anywhere in it. The fine hairs on the back of his neck stiffened. Kalin had been addressed by title. He had been around Kalin long enough to know that by the way she was standing, with her back straight and her head held assertively up, she was on guard. Serious guard. If she had been a cat, her back would be arched, her fur standing on end. The two women faced each other. Age had been dismissed for the moment by each. They measured each other on qualities he couldn't see. This was a woman who could bring them to harm, and he knew the sword wasn't going to protect him. Addie turned back to Richard.
"Put words to your need, Richard Cipher."
"We need your help." Addie's head bobbed.
"True. Our two friends are hurt. One, Del Branstone, told me he is your friend. True, Addie said again in her raspy voice. Another man in South Haven told us you may be able to help them. In return for your help, we brought you supplies. We thought it would be fair to offer you something. Addie leaned closer. Lie! She thumped her crutch once on the ground. Richard and Kaelin both jerked back a little. Richard didn't know what to say. Addie waited. It's true. The supplies are right here. He turned a little, indicating Chase's horse. We thought it would be fair. Lie! She thumped her crutch once again. Richard folded his arms, his temper rising. His friends were dying while he played games with this woman. What is a lie? We be a lie. She thumped her crutch again. You be the one who thought to offer supplies. You be the one who decided to bring them. Not you and Kaelin. You, we be a lie. I be the truth. Richard unfolded his arms, holding them out to his sides. What difference does that make? I, we, what does it matter? She stared at him. One be true, one be a lie. How much more difference could there be? Richard folded his arms across his chest again, frowning. Chase must have a very difficult time telling you the stories of his adventures. Addie's small smile came back. True, she nodded. She leaned a little closer, motioning with her hand. Bring your friends inside. She turned, put the crutch back under her arm, and worked her way to the house. Richard and Kaelin looked at each other, and then went to get Chase, putting the blankets away first. He had Kaelin take the boundary warden's feet. He took the heavy half. As soon as they lugged Chase through the door, Richard discovered why she was called the Bone Woman. Bones of every kind stood out in stark relief against the dark walls. Every wall was covered. Against one were shelves that held skulls. Skulls of beasts Richard didn't recognize. Most were fearsome-looking, with long, curved teeth. At least none were human, he thought. Some of the bones were assembled into necklaces. Some were decorated into objects of purpose with feathers and colored beads, chalk circles drawn around them on the surface of the wall. There were stacks of bones in the corner looking unimportant en masse. The ones on the wall were displayed carefully, with space around them to signify their importance. On the mantel over the fireplace was a rib bone as thick as Richard's arm, as long as he was tall, with symbols he didn't recognize carved in dark lines along its length. There were so many bleached bones around him that Richard felt as if he were in the belly of a dead beast. They set Chase down while Richard's head swiveled around, looking. Rainwater dripped off Kaelin, Chase, and himself. Addie towered over him. She was as dry as the bones around her. She had stood outside in the rain, yet she was dry. Richard reconsidered the wisdom of his decision to come here. If Chase hadn't told him Addie was his friend, he would not be doing this. He looked to Kaelin. I'll go get Zed. It was more of a question than a statement. I will help carry in the supplies, she offered, casting a glance at Addie. Richard gently laid Zed at the Bone Woman's feet. Together he and Kaelin stacked the supplies on the table. When they had finished, both went and stood next to their friends in front of Addie, both peering at the bones. Addie watched them. Who be this one? She asked, pointing at Zed. Zedekus Zul Zorander, my friend, he said. Wizard! Addie snapped. My friend! Richard yelled, his anger unhinged. Addie calmly looked at him with her white eyes while he glared back. Zed was going to die if he didn't get help, and Richard was in no mood to allow that to happen. Addie leaned forward, placing her wrinkled hand flat against his stomach. A little surprised, he stood still while she rubbed her hand in a slow circle,
as if seeking to discern something. She took her hand back, carefully folding it over the other on the crutch. Her thin lips pulled to the sides in a slight smile as she looked up.
The righteous rage of a true seeker. Good.
She looked over to Kaelin.
You have nothing to fear from him, child. It be the anger of truth. It be the anger of the teeth. The good need not fear it.
With the aid of her crutch, she took a few steps to Kaelin. Addie placed her hand on Kaelin's stomach and repeated the procedure. When she was finished, she laid her hand over the crutch and nodded. She looked to Richard.
She has the fire. The anger burns in her, too. But it be the anger of the tongue. You have to fear it. All have to fear it. It be dangerous if she ever lets it out.
Richard gave Addie a leery look. I dislike riddles. They leave too much room for misinterpretation. If you want to tell me something, then tell me.
Tell me,
she mocked. Her eyes narrowed.
What be stronger, teeth or tongue?
Richard took a deep breath. The answer is obviously teeth. Therefore, I choose tongue. Addie gave him a disapproving scowl.
Sometimes your tongue moves when it shouldn't. Make it be still,
she commanded in a dry rasp. Somewhat embarrassed, Richard kept quiet. Addie smiled and gave a nod.
See?
Richard frowned. No.
The anger of teeth be force by contact, violence by touch, combat. The magic of the sword of truth be the magic of the anger of teeth, ripping, tearing. The anger of the tongue need not touch, but it be force just the same. It cuts just as quick.
I'm not sure what you mean, Richard said. Addie reached out, her long finger stretching to him and lightly touching his shoulder. His head was suddenly filled with a vision that was a memory of the night before. He saw the men at the inn. He was standing in front of them with Kaelin, and the men were ready to attack. He was grasping the sword of truth, ready for the violence necessary to stop them, knowing that nothing short of blood would suffice. Then he saw Kaelin next to him, talking to the mob, stopping them, holding them with her words, running her tongue across her lip, giving meaning without speaking. She was taking the fire from them, disarming the depraved without touching them, doing what the sword could not. He began to understand what Addie meant. Kaelin's hand swept up sharply and snatched Addie's wrist, pulling the hand away from Richard. There was a dangerous look in her eyes, one that wasn't lost on Addie. I am sworn to protect the life of the Seeker. I do not know what you are doing. You will forgive me if I overreact. I mean no disrespect, but I could not forgive myself if I failed in my task. There is much at risk. Addie looked down at the hand around her wrist.
I understand, child. Forgive me for thoughtlessly giving you cause for alarm.
Kaelin held the wrist a moment longer to make her point, then released it. Addie laid the hand over her other on the top of the crutch. She looked back to Richard.
Teeth and tongue work together. Same with the magic. You command the magic of the sword, the magic of the teeth. But that gives you magic of the tongue also. The magic of the tongue works because you back it with the sword.
She turned her head slowly to Kaelin.
You have both, child, teeth and tongue. You use them together, one backing the other.
And what is a wizard's magic? Richard asked. Addie looked at him, considering the question.
There be many kinds of magic. Teeth and tongue be only two. Wizards know them all, save those of the underworld. Wizards use most of what they know.
She looked down at Zed.
He be a very dangerous man. He has never shown me anything but kindness and understanding. He is a gentleman. True, but he also be a dangerous one, Addie repeated. Richard let it drop. And Tarkenrall, do you know of him? What kind he can use? Addie's eyes narrowed.
Oh, yes, she hissed. I know of him. He can use all the magic a wizard does, and the magic a wizard cannot. Tarkenrall can use the underworld.
Icy bumps rippled up Richard's arms. He wanted to ask what kind of magic Addie had, but decided better of it. She turned once more to Kaelin.
Be warned, child, you have the true power of the tongue. You have never seen it. It will be a terrible doing if you ever let it loose.
I don't know what you are talking about, Kaelin said, her eyebrows in a frown.
True, Addie nodded. True.
She reached out and gently placed her hand on Kaelin's shoulder, working her fingers, bringing her closer.
Your mother died before you became a woman, before you were of age when she could teach you of it.
Kaelin swallowed hard. What can you teach me of it?
Nothing. I am sorry, but I have no understanding of its workings. It be something only your mother can teach when you reach the age of woman. Since your mother did not show you, the teaching be lost. But the power be still there. Be warned. Just because you were not taught its use does not mean it cannot come out.
Did you know my mother? Kaelin asked in a painful whisper. Addie's face softened as she looked at Kaelin. She nodded slowly.
I remember your family name, and I remember her green eyes. They not be easy to forget. You have her eyes. When she carried you, I knew her.
A tear rolled down Kaelin's cheek, and her voice came in the same painful whisper. My mother wore a necklace with a small bone on it. She gave it to me when I was a child. I wore it always until Denise, the girl I called my sister, when she died, I buried it with her. She had always been fond of it. You gave that necklace to my mother, didn't you? Addie closed her eyes and nodded.
Yes, child. I gave it to her to protect her unborn daughter, to keep her child safe, that she might grow to be strong like her mother. I can see that she has.
Kaelin slipped her arms around the old woman. Thank you, Addie, she said tearfully. For helping my mother. Addie held the crutch with one hand, and with the other rubbed Kaelin's back in genuine sympathy. After a few moments, Kaelin separated from the old woman and wiped the tears from her eyes. Richard saw his opening and went for it with single-minded determination. Addie, he said in a soft voice, you helped Kaelin before she was born. Help her now. Her life and the lives of a great many others are at stake. Tarkenrall hunts her, hunts me. We need the help of these two men. Please help them. Help Kaelin. Addie gave him her small smile. She nodded her head a little to herself.
The wizard chooses his seekers well. Fortunately for you, patience be not a prerequisite for the post. Be at ease. I would not have had you bring them in if I did not intend to help them.
Well, perhaps you cannot see, he pressed, but Zed especially is in bad shape. His breathing is hardly there at all. Addie's white eyes regarded him with strained tolerance.
Tell me, she said in her dry rasp, do you know Kaelin's secret, the one she keeps from you?
Richard said nothing, and tried to show no emotion. Addie turned to Kaelin.
Tell me, child, do you know the secret he keeps from you?
Kaelin said nothing. Addie looked back to Richard.
Does the wizard know of the secret you keep from him?
No.
Do you know the secret the wizard keeps from you? No. Three blind people. Hmm? Seems I be able to see better than you.
Richard wondered what secret Zed was keeping from him. He lifted an eyebrow.
And which of these secrets do you know, Addy?
She pointed a thin finger at Kaelin.
Hers only.
Richard was relieved, but tried to let his face show nothing. He had been on the verge of panic. Everyone has secrets, my friend, and has a right to keep them when there is need. Her smile widened.
That be true, Richard Cipher.
Now, what about these two?
Do you know how to heal them?
She asked. No, if I did, I obviously would have already done so.
Your impatience is to be forgiven. It be only right for you to fear for the lives of your friends. I bear you no ill will for your concern. But be at ease. They have been receiving help from the moment you brought them in.
Richard gave her a confused look. Really? She nodded.
They be struck down by underworld beasts. It will take time for them to wake. Days. How many I cannot say. But they be dry. Lack of water will be the death of them. Therefore they must be brought awake enough to drink, or they will die. The wizard breathes slow, not because he be worse, but because that be the way wizards save strength in time of trouble. They go into a deeper sleep. I must bring them both awake to drink. You will not be able to talk to them. They will not know you, so be not afraid when you see it. Go to the corner. Bring the water bucket.
Richard retrieved the water and then helped Addy lower herself to sit cross-legged at the heads of Zed and Chase. She pulled Kaelin down next to her. She asked Richard to bring a bone implement from the shelf. Part of it looked very much like a human thigh bone. The entire object had a dark brown patina and looked to be ancient. Down the shaft of the bone were carved symbols Richard didn't recognize. At one end were two skull tops, one to each side of the ball. They had been cut smoothly into half spheres and covered with dried skin of some kind. In the center of each skin was a knot that looked like a navel. Spaced evenly around each skin, where it stretched across the skull edge, were tufts of coarse black hair tied on with beaded thread that matched that around the neck of Addie's robe. The skull tops looked like they could be human. Something inside rattled. Richard handed it respectfully to Addy. What makes the rattle? Without looking up, she said,
Dried eyes.
Addy shook the bone rattle gently from side to side over the heads of Zed and Chase while mumbling a chant in the strange language in which she had spoken to Kaelin. The rattle made a hollow, wooden sound. Kaelin sat cross-legged next to her, head bowed. Richard stood back and watched. After 10 or 15 minutes, Addy motioned with her hand for him to come closer. Zed suddenly sat up and opened his eyes. Richard realized she wanted him to give him water. She continued to chant as he dipped the ladle in and held it up to Zed's mouth. He drank thirstily. Richard was thrilled to see the old man sit up and open his eyes, even if he couldn't talk, even if he didn't know where he was. Zed drank half a bucket of water. When finished, he lay back down and closed his eyes. Chase was next, and he drank the other half of the water. Addy handed Richard the bone rattle and asked him to return it to the shelf. Next, she had him bring the bone pile from the corner and stack half over Zed's body, half over Chase's, directing him on how to place each bone, to some alignment that only she could see or understand. Finally, she had him stack rib bones in a wagon wheel pattern with the hub centered over each man's chest. When he finished, she complimented him on doing a fine job, but he felt no pride, because she had directed his hand at each turn. Addy looked up at him with her white eyes.
Can you cook?
Richard thought about the time Kaelin had told him that his spice soup was like hers, and that their two lands were much the same. Addie was from the Midlands. Maybe she would like something from her homeland. He smiled at her. I would be honored to make you some spice soup. She put her hands together in a swoon.
That would be wonderful. I have not had a proper spice soup in years.
Richard went to the opposite corner of the room and sat at the table, cutting up vegetables and mixing spices. For over an hour, as he worked, he watched the two women sitting on the floor, talking in the strange language. Two women catching up on the news from home, he thought happily. He was in a good mood. Someone was finally doing something to help Zed and Chase. Someone who knew what the problem was. When he was finished and had the soup on the fire, he didn't want to disturb them. They looked like they were enjoying themselves, so he asked Addie if he could cut some firewood for her. She seemed pleased by the idea. He went outside and removed the tooth from around his neck, putting it in his pocket, and left his shirt on the porch to keep it dry. He took the sword with him to the back of the house, where Addie had told him he would find the firewood pile. Placing logs on the sawbuck, he cut off pieces to length. Most of the wood was birch, easiest for an old woman to cut. He picked out the rock maple, excellent firewood but tough cutting. The woods nearby were dark and dense, but they didn't feel threatening. They felt welcoming, enveloping, safe. Still, there was the last man of the quad out there somewhere, hunting Kalin. He thought about Michael, hoped he was safe. Michael didn't know what Richard was doing, and probably wondered where he was. He was probably worried. Richard had planned on going to Michael's house after they left Zed's place, but there had been no time. Rawl had almost caught them. He wished he had been able to get word to his brother. Michael was going to be in great danger when the boundary failed. When he tired of sawing, he split what he had cut. It felt good to use his muscles, to sweat from labor, to do something that didn't require him to think. The cool rain felt good on his hot body, making the work easier. To amuse himself, he imagined the wood was Darkon Rawl's head as he brought the axe down. For variation, he sometimes imagined it to be a gar. When the piece of wood was particularly tough, he imagined it to be the red-haired man's head. Kalin came out and asked him if he was ready to come eat. He hadn't even realized it was getting dark. After she left, he went to the well and poured a bucket of cold water over himself, washing off the sweat. Kalin and Addie were sitting at the table, and since there were only two chairs, he brought in a log round to sit on. Kalin set a bowl of soup in front of him as he sat down and handed him a spoon.
You have given me a wonderful gift, Richard, Addie said.
And what would that be?
He blew on a spoonful of soup to cool it. She looked at him with her white eyes.
Without taking offense, you have given me the time to talk to Kalin in my native tongue. You cannot know what joy that be for me. So many years it has been. You are a very perceptive man. You are a true seeker.
Richard beamed at her. You have given me something very precious, too. The lives of my friends. Thank you, Addie.
And your spice soup be wonderful, she added, with a hint of surprise.
Yes, Kalin winked at him. It's as good as I make.
Kalin has told me about Darkon Rawl and about the boundary failing, Addie said. It explains much. She has told me that you know of the pass and wish to cross into the Midlands. Now you must decide what you will do.
She took a spoonful of soup. What do you mean?
They must be awakened every day to drink, and they must be fed a gruel. Your friends be asleep for many days, 5, maybe 10. You must decide as seeker if you are to wait for them or go on. We cannot help you. You must decide.
That would be a lot of work for you to do by yourself. Addie nodded.
Yes, but it not be as much work as going after the boxes, as stopping Darkon Rawl.
She ate some more soup as she watched him. Richard stirred his spoon around absently in his bowl. There was a long silence. He looked to Kaelin, but she showed nothing. He knew she didn't want to interfere with his decision. He looked back down at his soup. "Every day that passes," he said quietly at last, "brings Rawl closer to the last box. Zed told me he has a plan. That does not mean it is a good plan, and there may not be time to use it when he awakes at last. We could lose before we start." He looked up into Kaelin's green eyes. "We can't wait. We can't take the chance. Too much is at risk. We must leave without him." Kaelin gave him a smile of reassurance. "I wasn't planning on letting Chase go with us anyway. I have a more important job for him." Addie reached across the table and put her weathered hand on his. It felt soft and warm.
"It'd not be an easy choice to make. It'd not be easy to be Seeker. That which lies ahead be difficult beyond your worst fears."
He forced a smile. "At least I still have my guide." The three of them sat in silence, considering what must be done.
"You both will have a good sleep tonight," Addie said. "You will need it. After supper, I will tell you what you will need to know to get through the pass."
She looked to each of them in turn. Her voice became even raspier.
"And I will tell you how I lost my foot."